Well, today, of course, is Epiphany Sunday. It's a Christian feast day that celebrates the revelation of God incarnate as Jesus Christ. In Western Christianity, it principally, but not solely, celebrates the visit of the Magi to Christ the child. And it comes from a word in Greek, epiphaniana, meaning appearance. In New Testament, the word is used in 2 Timothy, and it talks about either the appearance of Jesus, the baby, but it's also the same word for the appearance of Jesus after his resurrection. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, "The grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it's been now been revealed before the appearance or before the epiphany of our Savior Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel." And five times, actually, in the New Testament, this word is used just to talk about the Jesus appearing as the Messiah in the second coming. This morning, though, we're going to have a look at this reading from Matthew and focus on that prophecy from Isaiah. And as those kings came to worship the Savior, think about the gifts that they brought. And I need some children who like chocolate. Are there any children who like chocolate? If there are any children who like chocolate, do come to the front. All right, come to the front. That'll be really, really good. Just come and sit down there. And Hayley, if you could come and sit down there, and can you guard the chocolate, please? Thank you very much. Brilliant. There is a version of the Nativity story called the Chocolate Nativity Story, where the narrator tells the Christmas story and uses chocolate bar references to help tell the story. For example, "I bring you great news," the angel whispered. Whisper the chocolate bar. You have to know your chocolate bars to get this story, all right? So I thought, as we've got a few chocolates left here from Christmas, we'd just do the part of the story that refers to the wise men, the part of the story we heard in Matthew. So I just leave a little gap, and you've got to try and guess which chocolate fits in there. And adults, you're welcome to join in. I'm going to ask Hayley to listen out to the first person to shout the correct chocolate bar, and she will give you one of the chocolates from over there. So far away in the east, the three something men. Smarty. There we go. That was someone down here. It might even have been Samuel. The three smarty men. You're only allowed to win one each, Samuel, so I'm afraid you can't call out all the answers. We're at a watering hole contemplating the reason for the something in the water.
Water.
Not yet. If you don't get it, I win it. I think I heard it over there. Ripples. Yeah, was that over there? That was Anita, I think. The ripples in the water. I don't know if it was Lynn or Anita. You could sort of fight between you. There we go. The ripples in the water. "What's that?" said one of the wise men. "Just north of Mars." I heard, Hayley, you could just pick someone, all right? "Just north of Mars. It's the..." You're not allowed to answer. "It's the Milky Way." Someone down here, Hayley, you just pick someone. Doesn't matter. Said another of the wise men. "No, it's not. It's a..."
"Galaxy."
"Not galaxy. Think a magic star." Yes, over there. Well done. "And it means the new kings have been born." So the three wise men gathered their...
donkeys.
No, not their donkeys. Think of a word that means a lot of something. Bounty. That was somewhere down here, Hayley. I'm not sure who it was there. Was that Elizabeth? It was. Well done. "They gathered their bounty and followed the star to find a new king. When they found him, when they found the baby Jesus, they gave him three gifts. Here is..."
"Gold."
Yeah, but you're not allowed to answer. "Here is..." Someone over there. "Gold, of course. There is a chocolate bar called a gold." Yep. "Here is gold and frankincense and myrrh. That night, the Savior of the world was born, and the heavens had a big..."
Celebration.
Hayley, you're just going to have to pick someone. Well done. Thank you very much. If you guys just stay there for a moment, there might be more chances to win. And this passage provides a lot of reassurance about our faith, doesn't it? It's full of Old Testament prophecies being fulfilled, the one from Isaiah we heard, and the actual gifts point us towards God's plan and how that was worked out even before the beginning of time. Now, in the quiz we did earlier, we only had two of our gifts brought forward. And how many gifts were there?
Three.
Okay, somewhere around the church, there is another gift in one of these bags. Whoever finds it can have a chocolate from Hayley. So go and have a look around. Aurelia thinks she's already found it. But I think Elizabeth's beaten her to it. Sorry, Aurelia, you got beaten there. Do you want to go and get a chocolate there? And Elizabeth, can you pass that to me over there? Thank you very much. Well done. So we've got our three gifts, haven't we? Now, children, there is a word search about the story or a colouring picture there. And if any of you want to be having a go at that, well, we just think a bit more about the story in there. And there's some crayons there where Hayley's got that. And if any of you can complete that word search or the picture by the end of the service, we'll make sure Hayley gives you a chocolate as well. So, if you can do that really, really quietly, and we're just going to have a think a little bit more about what we can learn from this passage. So, first of all, we've got gold. And of course, gold is one of the most valuable substance on earth. It's used as a baseline, isn't it, for many other values. It's worth a lot, and certainly in Jesus' time, it was a really important commodity. It might be used on a crown, it speaks of royalty, it speaks of wealth, and it speaks of Jesus' kingship. Our present there is our gold, or actually our gold coins, because I can't afford real gold, I'm afraid. So we've got our gold coins there, I know, lots of sympathy. No gold for Christmas for me. So we've got our gold coins, or our gold, celebrating what Jesus was to become. The Magi bought gold, a costly gift, but a gift for a king. And it helps us understand that God gives us what we have, and we only give back to him what he's already given us. We offer God gold, the Magi bought gold, because it sums up everything. It sums up what our priorities are. It sums up whether we put more priority on our wealth than we do on our relationship with God. It should be no hardship to offer our gold or what that represents to God, because we need to offer what we treasure most to God. Everything comes from God, we say, and of his own do we give. Gold, that gift bought by the kings to signify a royal king, but also signifying us giving everything that we can to our God. And then we have frankincense, the gift that speaks of worship. It speaks of holiness. It's also a symbol that in the Old Testament of something being priestly. And that's why it was given by these wise men. In some churches, you'll find incense or frankincense being swung round the church as people process to the front. It's a symbol of that holiness of God. And God wants our lives to be holy every single day. So in our second gift, we haven't actually got our frankincense, but what we've actually got here is we've got a diary, because it's not just about being holy and recognizing God's holiness on a Sunday. It's about trying to live holy lives every single day of our lives. God doesn't necessarily want our homes or churches to be filled with frankincense, but what he does want it to be filled with is love, full of love and truth. And if we become more holy, we let God enter into our lives day by day. I'm sure many of you got calendars or diaries for Christmas, and perhaps that can be a reminder of making God the most important things in our life every single day of our lives. So gold and frankincense, and of course the third gift of myrrh, gift the oil that was used actually to anoint dead bodies. And that speaks of Jesus' task that he was given even before his birth, to die on the cross. It speaks of him being set aside for this special task. It speaks of also us being ready to die to sin. Paul says, we confess what we have done is wrong, and we're open to receive God's forgiveness through the death of Jesus. So we offer our whole lives to God, for him to use, for him to direct. So in our third gift, what I got was a little mirror, just a really simple mirror there, to help us to think about how we can include God in our everyday lives, how we can think about what our old life is like before God and what we need to change so that we can give to God what we need to give. Maybe maybe today we can be thinking, what are we prepared to do to Jesus? As we look in the mirrors of our lives, what do we need to change? What do we need to think about to show to Jesus that we know who he is, the Son of God, born so that we can have that relationship with God? So this is an amazing passage. We can't predict God's actions. Who would have thought that God would have called these wise men from many, many hundreds of miles away to bring these gifts? And as we can see in Matthew, there's these contrasting responses to Jesus, isn't there? Matthew shows how Jesus' coming divides people. Here at the very start of his life, we have the actions of the wise men, full of praise and full of dedication to travel all that distance, but also the action of Herod, full of hatred and opposition. They stand, don't they, in a strong contrast, and that contrast deepens, doesn't it, as the story of Jesus' life unfolds. The Magi took this long and dangerous, this unknown journey. It appears from verse 9, the star wasn't actually always visible. There was some faith in that journey as well. It was an act of obedience and dedication. God met them in their studies, and then God met them where they were. He drew them on until they sought him wholeheartedly. And then Herod's and his followers had done just the opposite. The chief priests and the followers knew the Bible. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the King of the Jews was to be born in Bethlehem. And yet they couldn't even be bothered to go and look, maybe when they heard rumors about this birth. Doesn't their apathy stand in total contrast to the diligence of the Magi, whose obedience is preferable to the knowledge of those scribes and Pharisees? And Herod's hatred and fear stands in self-centered opposition to the wholehearted praise of the Magi, their dedication to the king. And perhaps we might say, who can blame those who failed to recognize the king? They were expecting something very different, maybe royal and majestic. Herod was a king, a pretty awful king, but he lived this high-flying life that was expected. And yet here is the king born in a stable, not what was expected because they'd misread their scriptures. But the wise men aren't thrown, are they? They recognize Jesus. They recognize him as the King of the Jews. Their presence that they brought him show that recognition. They show who they knew Jesus was, and they show who they knew Jesus was to become. And one of my favorite verses, verse 12, they returned to their country by another road because God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. They go back by a different way. They'd seen the way of salvation and the way of eternal life, and they chose to follow that way and not go back to the way of death. They're to go back a different way. And everyone who meets Jesus, we face that challenge, don't we? To go a different way, to change what needs to be changed so that we can meet the King of Kings and Lords of Lords. That was true for the wise men, and I think that's true for us today. Amen. We're going to our continuing prayer now, just to think about those wise men, to think about those gifts, to think about what they meant, and perhaps to think about ourselves and what do we need to perhaps change, perhaps do differently in 2019 to show that we understand who Jesus is. I wonder if you would respond as I say, Lord of Glory, if you could respond with, hear our prayer. Let us worship the Saviour with joy and make our prayers to the Heavenly Father. The Magi came from the East to worship your Son. Father, we pray that you grant to Christians everywhere this spirit of adoration. We pray especially for Christians who are under persecution at the moment, that they will know your love and your peace. Lord of Glory, hear our prayer. The infant Christ received gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Father, accept the offering of our hearts and minds. Let's just keep a moment of quiet to think what we might want to bring to our God in this new year. Lord of glory, hear our prayer. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord of the Christ. Father, we pray for our world. We pray that you will grant an abundance of peace in this year. We pray that your Holy Spirit will move among world leaders to make a real difference, a difference for good, and a difference that brings glory to you. Lord of glory, hear our prayer. The Holy Family lived in exile and even in the shadow of death. Father, we pray you look in mercy on all those who are poor, who are powerless, and all who are suffering. Lord of glory, hear our prayer. Your Son shed the life of his home and family. Father, we pray for your protection on our homes and families. We pray that we will show love for our neighbours and love for you. We pray for this community, the community where we live, where we're a part, that we can make a difference that reflects who you are. Lord of glory, hear our prayer. Father, we rejoice in the fellowship with the shepherds, the angels, and the magi, in your unfailing love for us and for all people. Hear and answer our prayers through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.